Hello, everyone. I'm Sergeant Major of the Army, retired Dan Daly, and welcome to this edition of Soldier Today Podcast. Soldier Today Podcast is a product of the Noncommissioned Officer and Soldier Programs Directorate at the Association of the United States Army. Soldier Today subjects focus on those topics that are relevant and needed by our soldiers and their families serving the regular Army, the Army National Guard, and the Army Reserve. Our newest discussion topic today is Army Futures Command. The establishment of Army Futures Command marks one of the most significant Army reorganization efforts since 1973. When the U.S. Army disestablished the Continental Army Command and Combat Development Command and redistributed their functions between two new commands, U.S. Army Forces Command and U.S. Army Training and Doctrine Command. So this is a great subject to discuss, and the best person to have that discussion with here in the studio today is Army Future Command Command Sergeant Major Michael Crosby. Sergeant Major, it's great to have you here today.
Hey, thanks for having me out today. Today's a great day to actually discuss Army Futures Command with the audience.
Well, I'll tell you, our audience is eager to hear what's in the Army's future, because that's what Army Future Command does, right? So I know they're going to be excited about our discussion today. So let's jump right in, Sergeant Major, if you're okay with that, and let's go with the first question. So Army Futures Command has been in existence now for about a year, a little more than that. And for our listeners, I'd like to start with the why. Why does the Army need a Futures Command?
The Army needs a Futures Command to codify the modernization process. Before Army Futures Command was stood up, the modernization process was held at the highest level. Chief of Staff of the Army, ASALT, Army Material Command, and a couple others were part of this process. There was no single belly button that the Chief of Staff of the Army had to push for modernization. If he was looking to ready to force, he could tap into ForceCom. If he was looking at sustainment operations, that was Army Material Command. If he was looking at educating the force, Cadet Command, that was Training and Doctrine Command. So Army Futures Command is that single belly button that the Chief of Staff of the Army and the Secretary of the Army can push for modernizing the force.
Yeah, so instead of having to go through all these different commands to get an initiative and requirements and all that done, can look at one single commander command and say, hey, make this initiative happen.
Absolutely, that's totally correct.
Yeah, sounds like the right decision to me. I mean, that's a great initiative. Simplify the process to get our soldiers what they need, right?
Very true.
Yeah. Well, great. So currently, as many of us know out there, we have soldiers training and serving all across the country and around the world. We have soldiers engaged in combat. What are AFC's direct impact to our soldiers on the ground in those environments? And what can soldiers expect from AFC in the future, from the soldier perspective, the young Private Daly and Private Crosby on the ground?
So with the Army, we got the six Army modernization priorities. And before I get into that, we have what we call the Soldier Design Center. For those soldiers that are actually on the ground, before we get a requirement done, it goes through experimentation, it goes through a testing phase, that is going to push the design build from the input that the soldiers on the ground with this piece of equipment is going to advise us how they would like it to operate, what it looks like, the weight, et cetera.
So soldiers get a say in this.
Absolutely.
That is amazing. Yeah.
Before this process stood up, you take back to the Army Big Five. The soldiers didn't touch the equipment to a limited user test. Now the soldiers get the chance to touch this equipment, advise those program managers, program executive officers on how this equipment should better operate or better fit them, tailored on what their current CMF is or MOS.
Yeah, so let me get this right. This is important. So for our listeners out there, you're saying that before we did all the major investment, before we're ready to go to final production like in the past, well before that now, soldiers get to touch, use, and comment about this equipment, and we will actually make changes as a result of what they say?
Absolutely. We actually make changes.
Can you give us an example? Just anything.
I give an example of the enhanced night vision goggle binocular. Mm-hmm. During the design test and build phase, the soldiers out of 10th Mountain, soldiers out of 1st Infantry Division, they tested this equipment, right? From the idea or the operational needs for this equipment to putting a material solution in the soldier's hand, 22 months. Based off the feedback during design, test, and build phase.
And for those of you in the acquisition process, that's fast. I mean, 22 months sounds like a long time, but we're talking about a new, state-of-the-art, not an off-the-shelf piece of equipment, right? Because off-the-shelf, we can get much faster.
Absolutely.
We're talking about from concept to delivery, 22 months?
So
it speeds up the process, too.
Speeds up the process.
I'll tell you, that's exactly what we need to do. And that is proof of why we need a Futures Command.
It sure is. Absolutely.
You know, we've heard about the Army's six strategic priorities, and you mentioned it, right? So, and the eight cross-functional teams. Can you tell us a little bit about those, Sergeant Major?
Yes, eight cross-functional teams. I kind of codify those as a combined arms team. You have a previous operation experience brigade commanders, one star, two-star general. And on this team, you have the program executive officer, you have a contracting personnel, you have a program manager, you have a science and technologies, and all these folks are compiled shoulder to shoulder in the same buildings and offices. And what this does for us, that speeds up the process when it comes to identifying a requirement. And these requirements are gonna come from experimentation, they're gonna come from testing, they're gonna come with the design phase, and that makes it a codified team of experts that is gonna move this idea to a material solution. When you look at six modernization priorities, you got the long-range precision fires. And within long-range precision fires, you're gonna codify precision strike missiles, which is currently being tested from existing launcher that we currently have in inventory. And it's gonna provide lethality, survivability to those soldiers out there on the battlefield. That is our number one priority, long-range precision fires. You got low soldier lethality, and we don't call them cross-functional teams. We call them team lethality versus cross-functional team because we got a team design. So it's everybody. It's not only that infantry center's running this. You have, as I said before, program manager, you got science and technology, you got the contractors down on these teams. And so it's a holistic approach to mesh all those resources together. And it's not a single sole individual that is making this happen. It is a team effort across all six modernization priorities and all eight cross-functional teams.
So in a simplistic way of saying it, the cross-functional team was really designed to bring all the people who were previously involved in this process together.
Absolutely.
To deliver the capability that our soldiers need at point of time of need on the battlefield.
That's totally correct.
Well, I'll tell you, that's what a great initiative. It's something that I'm comforted to hear that we're getting after on a regular basis now. You know, over the last year, you and the AFC team have been very busy, very busy. And I read all kinds of new things that are coming out about Army Futures Command. What are some of the key milestones and accomplishments that you guys have achieved this year?
Key milestone is first setting up the headquarters.
Yeah, and that's a big one.
Absolutely.
Right? Where's that at now?
That's down in Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas. Center, did you ever think the Army would be in Austin, Texas?
Absolutely not. Yeah. Center City of Austin, Texas, and becoming FOC. There was three things that myself and General Murray said we must have before we can declare fully operation capacity. One was the people. Two was the facilities. And then the third thing was actually standing up the necessary functions that we need to actually get this command started. That was one of the main things that we accomplished. Second thing is—
And you're FOC today now?
FOC today.
That's good. Good to hear.
The other thing is looking at how do we take the requirements process that it used to be years ago from 3 to 5 years just to get a requirement. Now it's taking us 3 to 5 months. To get a requirement.
Yeah, that's a big change because
that is a huge change.
Under the old system, as you and I both know and we're products of, is by the time we got the piece of equipment, there was a new piece ready to come out, you know, and it wasn't the latest and greatest, right?
Absolutely. And we only put those requirements in front of those that can say yes. It normally took 86 wet signatures to get a requirement signed. The requirements are staffed through the people that can currently say yes, and that speeds the process up.
Yeah.
Huge milestone. Second thing is integrated visual augmentation system, known as the IVAS. We use the Soldier Design Center. We bring soldiers across various command, whether it's Force Com, whether it's Special Operations Command. We bring in the Navy, we bring in Marine Corps.
Oh, so this is a joint effort too.
Absolutely. We bring in all our partners.
Yeah.
And with this Soldier Design Center, it takes 3-week sprints from the time that they take this piece of equipment and the soldiers take it out and test it. The scientists bring it back to the lab based off the feedback, and they do 3-week iterative sprints and put it back in the soldiers' hands. And we are currently approaching soldier touch point number 3 to get this capability back out into the field for testing with those soldiers across various commands.
So there's a final validation with soldiers again.
Absolutely.
To say, did we get it right?
Absolutely.
So at the end of the day, soldier has to say.
Soldiers has to say. They have input along the way.
Through multiple processes throughout the process.
Absolutely. Design, test, and build phase. Soldiers are touching this equipment.
What are some of the things that soldiers said to you as a result of this?
This is the first time somebody asked for my opinion.
That's probably, you only got to hear that once from a soldier, right?
Exactly.
You only got to hear that once. I mean, cause to be very honest, our soldiers, they're out there. I mean, but they're not all mechanical engineers and aerospace engineers and all
Absolutely.
These great things. But if you want quality feedback on something that a soldier lives with and carries every single day of their life while they're in a place like Iraq and Afghanistan, I mean, they literally live with it.
They do.
Who better to ask, right?
That's right. American soldier.
Yeah. And the great thing about soldiers, too, if you want to see if it breaks, they could probably break it, can't they?
Oh, they can.
Yeah.
They can, absolutely.
And
so,
that's okay if they do that during this process.
Yes,
right?
It is.
That's the intent.
That is the intent. During the design, test, build phases, put it in their hands. They give uncandid, unvarnished feedback, and it's received well. And if it can't be done, they can say, hey, it's not, this can't happen. But if it do, it's going to cost something. But the soldiers will tell you the truth. That's what makes this process so good.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And I'll tell you what, that's a long time coming and a great reason why we have Futures Command. Well, speaking of Futures Command, Sergeant Major, you know, you got a title. It's called Army Futures Command. So I bet you get the question every day. What's next? What's in the future, Sergeant Major? Where's Army Futures Command going? I mean, share something with us. You know, where are we headed?
So persistent modernization, that's what we're looking at. Looking at a horizon of 2028. 2035, based on pacing threats that are out there that we know of, that's Russia and China, and what we're trying to do is compete in that space. Futures Command will not stop after we achieve those six modernization priorities. We're going to continue to look over the horizon. We're going to continue to look into the future based off potential threats and also forecasting what a threat could actually be. And it would be persistent. It would not stop.
Yeah, that's great. It's great to hear. So, you know, you work with a lot of people, and Future Command is making partnerships all throughout industry and academia, and sometime for the first time ever in Army's history, right? So can you share what that's been like down in Austin, Texas, and why we chose Austin as the reason or the home for Army Futures Command?
No, absolutely. So there's a big ecosystem in Austin of entrepreneurs, academia, startups. And it's huge. So we want to socially connect inside of that ecosystem to pull out some of that talent that has some type of solution that could solve a problem for the Army. And one of the big partnerships that we have going right now is with Texas A&M. Texas A&M is going to build a RELIS campus, which is where we're going to get down with directed energy and also lasers. And also with the University of Texas is going to deal with robotics, batteries. So those partnerships that you're in the center of the city inside of this big ecosystem where you can leverage the academia inputs and outputs of those major universities, that's going to do that basic applied and advanced research to help solve a problem that we're trying to get after in the future.
Yeah. So put a place for Future Command where your business partners already exist and a place where people want to live too, right? I mean, because we got to get on your team, you want quality individuals. And in order to do that, you got to provide them a quality of life for their families too, right?
Yes, we do. So we also want to maintain that talent, attract that talent, and give those young entrepreneurs, those big, huge academia universities, an opportunity to share some of this innovation and technology to help us solve a problem that can look beyond the current year and out into the future.
And why not put the headquarters in a place where people want to raise a family?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, good. Sergeant Major, is there anything else that you wanted to tell our listening audience out there? I'll give you the closing words on our subject today, Army Futures Command. What is it that you want to tell the troops?
All the listeners out there, our main mission and vision for Futures Command is take a lead on the modernization process to put the concepts and capabilities and organizational structure in the warfighter hands to defeat any enemy at any location, deploy, fight, and win, and redeploy back home.
Sergeant Major, I'm not going to say anything else because that was so good. It sounded like you read it, and he did not. I'm here in the studio with him. That was straight from his heart. Sergeant Major, it's been an absolute pleasure. Our time has come to an end to close this edition of Soldier Today podcast. All of us here at the Association of the United States Army want to thank Command Sergeant Major Michael Crosby for joining us today for this insightful discussion on Army Futures Command's mission and what they're doing for our Army now and what they're accomplishing well into the future. We can be proud of the innovation and initiative of the command and the many leaders, soldiers, Army civilians, our industry and academic partners for helping our Army continue to be the greatest Army in the world. As our Chief of Staff at the Army, General James McConville, has said, soldier first and winning matters.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Monday with a brand new episode of Army Matters with Army Real Talk. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Hooah.